verifying it.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, welcome in. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The gang's back together again. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good, Scotty. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good. Yeah, I felt bad because we've got a new tech in Maddie here, and she had to be subjected to listen to me go solo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not good for anybody. She's like, I could tell Maddie was like, what am I? I don't want to be part of this show. I don't want anything to do with this.
Oh, did you shake your – so she shook her head in disapproval the whole time I went solo, looking at me like
– yeah.
But so far things are good. It seems like so far things are good when we're back together.
Yes.
You're all right with this, Maddie?
We are better together.
Megan, you good with this?
Than we are.
That's all right? Okay.
Megan's like, I want no part of any of this.
Well, Megan looks like
Megan's been putting up with our nonsense for way too long.
She will punch us both right in the face.
Yeah, and we'll deserve it too.
Yeah. Yeah, so things went good, huh? Things are okay? Everything went good with that basketball call? Everything's good? Do we need to talk about this?
I don't know if we should or not.
I think we should.
I got an email from – Utah State played a team called Carroll College from Helena, Montana. And I thought we were very –
Carroll?
Carroll.
Okay.
A religious school in Helena, Montana with a proud legacy and a proud history and a really good NAIA team.
Stop it.
What?
No, he can't email you about the show. He can only email you about your broadcast. He can't. He's not like he's going to send an email to Nate Dowd and be like, I'm just horrified. Is this one email or are we talking multiple?
No, just one email that came from somebody.
So the full student body.
Oh, stop it. I don't want to be any part of this. So, I thought, you know, look, I try to have some fun in the broadcast and drop some funny lines every now and then. And sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss. And I may have missed and upset a Carroll College fan who was listening via the stream.
No, you hit. And that's what upset him was. He was upset that you hit.
Now, let me see if I've got the my spotting board. This team.
Carroll College, huh?
Had some names on it. I mean, they had some doozies.
Ones to call?
Tough names. And usually I try really hard to do a good job with names on stuff. But I will fully admit that I butchered some names in this one.
How bad did it get?
Like, just look
here, let me give a try on some of these.
Top right is the one that they were specifically upset about.
Oh, yeah. I'll say Jovan Siljevikinen.
It was... Schlieven Channon.
Oh, I was way off. Is it Jovan?
Jovan, yeah, you're right on that. And then they had a Murat Guzelicek.
What about Ifeani Okeke?
Ifeani Okeke.
Ifeani.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't throw a pen at their SID and said, I'm not saying that name.
Oh, stop it. Well, anyway, I mispronounced some names. And, you know, it's easy when we're just sitting here and looking at it. I got the pronunciation. But when you're in the heat of the game.
It's tough.
You screw up. And I screwed up. And I will fully admit it. And I apologize to the man. I said, look, on the pronunciations, I screwed up.
Those are some tough ones. That's like you're calling an NHL game.
And so I said, look, I'm very sorry because this man was very upset that I mispronounced some names. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. That was unprofessional on my part. 100%. And then he went on to point out some other things that I said.
Yeah. Lloyd, I wish we had some of these, but I know that finding a broadcast against a team called Carroll would not be an easy thing.
No, we don't need to pull anything from this.
So tell me what happened with the free throw line situation, because that seemed to be what has upset this guy the most.
Well, there's a lot that he's upset about. First off, there's this, you know, the Schlieven Channon young man is from Belgrade, Serbia. And the I talked to Ryan Odom and the coaching staff, and they said this team plays like an old 90s NBA team. That's just their style of game. And so I'm watching this guy has a real back-to-the-basket game that you just don't see anymore. And so I said this guy looked like he grew up watching a lot of 80s and 90s NBA highlights. which I thought was complimentary. He was very upset by that. He thought that was
really
that was not. And I'm like, I
response, the 80s and 90s was some of the best.
I know, and that's what I said. That was my favorite style of basketball. I enjoyed. That's what I grew up on. So I told him.
Oh, like, he took that the wrong way.
And then there was another line. He was upset where a young man came out, and I looked at the stat sheet. He's up at the free throw line, and I looked at him like, oh. Because I keep track of how many free throws they've shot on the year. I'm like, oh, this is his first free throw of the game. And then he clanked it, and I go, and it looks like it.
Oh, no.
And
that one's a little uncalled
okay.
for.
I can kind of understand that one.
And I agree. That probably wasn't the best thing to say. And, I apologize profusely. I said, you know what? That's
so
should not have done that.
Were you hanging on to that one? Like, were you?
No, I didn't.
Go, I hope he misses it so I can say, it and just, it looks like
come
it.
On, you and I, we do 20 hours of live radio a week,
yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes you just like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
stuff
your mind's
comes
constantly
in your head
working.
You just say it, and it comes out, and then people get upset. So for the good people at Carroll College, I sent off an email. I responded. I'm like, I'm very sorry.
Did
I meant
you,
no disrespect to your team.
Did you drag the and? Did you say, and it looks like it? Was it kind of emphasized?
I don't remember. And Lloyd, we don't need to go try to find
do
out.
Need to go
wait,
find
you
out.
You actually you emailed him back, huh?
I did.
I'm surprised you didn't put that in your
Lloyd,
junk email.
He's shaking his head.
No, no. Look, I will show you. Look at this.
Well, you put it in your junk email.
Look at that. All that whole thing about apologizing, blah, blah, blah.
Good grief.
Blah, 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 blah.
I mean,
did you just go blah, blah, blah?
He did write the Bible of anger across the. This email. That
and,
is
who
deep. Is,
and who is this, did you say again?
They didn't attach a name to it. I have their email address.
So they're just a Carroll
this
College
is the parent
grad?
Of that kid.
Shalevin Channon?
Yes.
It was?
I don't know. Maybe. They didn't attach a name to it.
Yes. Only a parent could come with this much heat. And only a parent for Carroll College kid is actually
going
to be listening.
Why don't you listen to your own team's broadcast? Why do you listen to Utah State's
well,
broadcast?
Because,
they don't have one.
Because, well, I don't know if they had one or not. Because they broadcast it on the TV. This is what I got sideways with BYU fans last year. Remember when they simulcast the audio and then they put the video on it?
Yeah,
and then put our and we put our audio and they overlay our audio onto the video. So this is somebody in Helena, Montana, trying to watch their son play, and they fired up the video and heard me commentating it. So again, like I said, you know.
Okay, so did you start your return email out with? I am the play-by-play voice of the Utah State Aggies. I did not know that anybody from Carroll College would be listening.
No, I did know. After the BYU game last year, then I realized, okay, they do that. And so now I know. So I fully admit I knew what was going on. I didn't.
So you just didn't even care. You're like, I'm gonna say whatever.
You should have said you didn't know. It's better if you just say
it's probably a good point, yeah. Just be like,
I knew
what?
You were listening,
what
but I don't
happened?
Care.
And yeah, it looks like it.
I mean, it was a 40-point blowout. You try to say some things to amuse yourself, and I shouldn't have done that. And again, unprofessional, I'm very sorry.
Well, I'm sure it was a fantastic broadcast. This is one parent that's upset. I promise you the other Carrollites that were listening were laughing. Like,
I don't know,
that's
man.
That's a good punchline. That's a good shot.
I didn't mean it to be a shot. But when I saw that, when you said it was his first free throw and it looked like it, we were all. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see how you'd be a little disappointed in that.
Well, thanks for carrying the weight yesterday, buddy. I apologize putting the extra weight on you, but I had to go do some work with mom and dad. I've been trying to dig out of the kid on the lowest end of the totem pole for the last 42 years.
Look at you.
I'm trying to become kind of a more favored kid. You know, Ryan was just blessed being an angel.
Yeah.
My older brother was blessed being the angel of the family. And because he sings opera and is talented in every other area, he's simply the favorite son by a country mile. He's been there saving the day like 30 times because he's way closer than me.
Yeah.
And then my sisters flew in from California, which is further than me, and they've saved the day a bunch. And
so it was your turn to be the good son.
Yeah. It was my turn. And I got a lot of ground to make up. I made it about 17 years of pure hell for them.
Yeah.
So
I've been maybe 19, 20.
Okay, so 22 to 24. But I've turned a corner, and I'm trying to be a better son. So I needed a day to go help mom and dad yesterday. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, well,
we got a lot done.
That's good. I want to know about this rock. What is this rock that you're hauling around?
Well, he's 275 pounds now, and he's 6'3".
No, stop it.
Oh.
The Olsen Rock. Like, what is
the actual Olsen Rock.
Because when you said you're hauling a rock that weighs 1,200 pounds, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, this thing is it's just a slab of granite.
Yeah.
And it's got Olsen's carved into it. And it's got these two gigantic eagles with pine trees and a mountain scene that's carved into this granite.
Wow.
It's got a spray-painted back area. And then on the back side, it's got some words to my parents. And it's just this massive monument rock thing that we had to pluck out of the ground and throw into a a trailer that was not mine, but it worked.
Hey,
it worked.
That's all that matters.
We set it right on the axle.
Can we talk about the terrible dad joke you just pulled?
Wait, I didn't pull
You mean rock. Well, he's 275 pounds, and he's lean and he's mean.
It's not a terrible dad joke.
Oh, it was such a dad. Rock. Yeah, he's 275 pounds. Get it?
Doing good in wrestling. We're
doing
really
good
proud
in
of
wrestling.
Him.
Oh, you mean the Rock from my parents' house. Oh, okay. That was dad.
Lloyd, it really saddens me that you never find me funny. It really saddens me. I feel like you got an axe to grind.
There's no
axe. I think people that are just out there trying to have a good day just kind of chuckled at it and then let it go. And maybe in their mind they were like, that was really dumb, but I got a smile.
You call out every dumb thing I do.
Oh.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, see? There you go.
It's just they go away a lot quicker than Scotty's and I just go away. Ours seem to stick around and haunt us for, let's see, 16 years?
Sure feels like it, yeah.
But, no, it was good and I appreciate it. And I cannot wait. I am leaving for Las Vegas. I am headed to the Palms. And I will be enjoying practices and environment and Pac-12 championship week as much as I possibly can.
So on Friday, I'll be here in Salt Lake City for one more day. And so I will have the show for you tomorrow, but you will be down doing the show live with me. And then on Friday, you and I will both be on remote. I'll be in L.A. getting ready for the game with Utah State and San Diego State, and you'll be in Las Vegas getting ready for Utah and Oregon.
I don't think Utah State's out of that game. I've got a couple of angles. This offensive coordinator has surprised me. He's impressed me.
Yes.
And in order to beat San Diego State, what it's going to take is a really smart offensive coordinator, proper tight routes, and accurate balls. Quick, accurate balls.
Operative word, quick.
Quick and accurate balls. Those have to come out, and the routes have to be clean and quick, and that offensive coordinator's got to be on the spot. They are not out of this game against San Diego State. I'm not even ready to give you a prediction yet. I've got to look at a couple of things. Now, what I'm worried that San Diego State's going to go own clock and, and burn it and keep it 35, 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And keep it out of Utah State's hands. You can't let San Diego State do that. So Utah State defensively, they're going to have to be very smart. The way they are able to stop drives and prevent that clock from just bleeding out on San Diego State's end of things.
It'd be good if you got a couple three and outs, if you picked up a couple early turnovers, got them on tilt a little bit.
So fake punts, onside kicks, fake field goals. When you've got a team like San Diego State that loves to just methodically move, you have to be smart with some of your special teams and extra possessions.
Pick up a possession along the way.
One turnover for Utah State against San Diego State is like two turnovers for San Diego State against Utah State.
I would agree with that.
So every time you can do something in a special teams sense to try to create an extra possession, I think that you roll the dice. I don't fourth and threes anywhere on your own 40 and in. So on your own 40 and in, I think fourth and three minus, I think go for it.
I agree.
And you just work the field.
And honestly, you're playing with house money anyway.
That's it, man. What do you have to lose?
Yep.
Everything you've done to this point has just been shocking, impressive, entertaining. So just keep rolling with the momentum of it and maybe even turn the dial up a little bit. If I see Utah State come out in the first quarter and be conservative and they're on the 55 and it's 4th and 1 and they punt?
I would be shocked if that happened.
Or on the 45, I mean?
55, same.
45, yeah. and it's 4th and 1 and they punt? I'm going to be it's going to anger me because it's like, wait a second. You're telling your players right now, hey, we don't have a lot of faith in this. And the one thing I feel like they can really rest their hat on is the connection between Logan Bonner and those three receivers, but really four. Mm-hmm. But three receivers. I'd like to say five if you could throw a tight end in, but they just haven't maxed that out.
Yeah. All right, 12-19, let's get to it. Starting lineup is right now, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Nathan's. All right. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Time for your starting lineup, brought to you by good friends at Peach Windows and Doors. Hans, as we get the starting lineup rolling, there's a lot coming up. This is a special week in sports here in the state of Utah.
It's an incredible week. Can't wait for this Utah-Oregon rematch. It's going to be one of the most exciting games of the year. And we were just talking about Utah State and having to be creative. Oregon is going to come out, and they're going to have to be creative. They know it. They know that they can't come out and do what they've been doing all year and expect any type of different result than what happened in their first matchup with the University of Utah. So Utah's going to have to be on their heels. The other thought I had is I don't think Utah wants to come out with full similarities of what they did against Oregon, even though they marched the field, they controlled the tempo and pace, and both sides of the ball were dominated by Utah. I think Utah's got to have some wrinkles. But I was going through some of my notes from that first Utah-Oregon game, and some of the things that happened right out of the gates, some of the early signs that Utah showed up to play. Number one, I think it was either the first or the second possession, Cole Bishop blocked a Oregon field goal attempt. So it showed you that the special teams were engaged, that the third aspect of the game was engaged. Then you had Britton Covey return a punt for a touchdown in the same half. I think that was the end of the first half.
It was the first play of the first half. Or the last play of the first half.
Last play of the first half.
Yeah.
Britton Covey returns a punt for a touchdown. And at that point, you had – everything was shifted into full gear. Defense, offense, and special teams were all clicking. Mika Tafua in the first half. He wasn't credited with the sack in the first half, but he got the pressure and forced Brown out of the pocket. And Brown kind of tripped up, you remember, and Mika was the first one to touch him. So I think they might have credited him with the sack. But then you come out in the second half, and Devin Lloyd activates, and Devin Lloyd becomes everything that he is and overwhelmed them with blitzing and quarterback pressures. And then Tafuna got involved. The defensive tackle had multiple big plays. And then, Scotty, when Oregon – this is an important one. When Oregon started to make some defensive adjustments to try to slow up Utah's run game and try to get the pressure on – Cam Rising, Andy Ludwig went into a three screen package. And if you remember the screens against Oregon, it slaughtered that Oregon defense. And the screens, there were multiple. There was an inside screen to a tight end. There was a jailbreak screen to Britton Covey. And there was a slip screen. And I think that slip screen was to Tavian Thomas, if I remember right. But the screen game melted Oregon down. And it was – it's not that I hadn't seen a couple of these screenplays throughout the year, but I hadn't seen multiple screenplays like that packed into a half of football. So that was their adjustments in the second half was, okay, we know what Oregon's going to have to do. This is what we're going to come back and do. And the screens sliced them up. So – oh, and then the most important aspect of this, offensively, what they did to Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And I showed you in those highlight packages, yep, and showed everybody in the highlight packages all the different ways that they bottled up and contained and beat up Kayvon Thibodeau and left him as a non-factor.
Non-factor in that game.
Yeah.
100%.
Non-factor.
We're just getting started on the breakdown of this game. Looking ahead to Utah and Oregon, we'll have complete blowout the budget coverage of the Utes and the Ducks in the Pac-12 championship game coming up this weekend. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. You come on by. We've got the gear out. You want some Jazz gear, come and claim it. You want to check out vehicles, price to move, they're here for you as well with 0% financing on every new model here in stock. You get 0% financing. It's going to save you thousands of dollars. You'll also get the forever warranty, which means for as long as you own the vehicle, that vehicle will be covered. It's really simple. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
For Kyle Whittingham and the Utes, it all comes down to this. It's the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas as the Utes look to claim their first ever Pac-12 title. The Zone Sports Network will be in Las Vegas with nonstop blowout-the-budget coverage of the Utes as they battle Oregon for a spot in the Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Thanks for making us part of your day.
Is it me? Am I out of my mind thinking that this has been the wildest coaching carousel in college football?
Nope, you are not, because I am 100% in agreement with you. You know what I love about this, though, and I said this yesterday, is that now nobody is immune. Now, normally you had schools like, you know, Utah State, for example, who every year they're good, and the question is, oh, are you going to lose your coach? You're going to lose your coach? And it look, it's part of what they're dealing with, and that's just their spot in the world, and they accept it, and they realize, and John Hartwell's done a tremendous job of finding the next great coach and rinse and repeat. You know, if you're having your coaches hired away, that means they're doing good work, and you should be able to hire more up-and-coming coaches. So that's who I just like that everybody else is getting a taste of it now. Notre Dame, boom, your coach is gone. Oklahoma, boom, your coach is gone. Lured away by what should be lateral jobs.
Okay, so help me understand. How do you get Brian Kelly to leave Notre Dame and go to LSU?
Because Brian Kelly's probably thinking, and it's a good question because
I think I know what the Lincoln Riley thing. I've got a good feel on that.
I know the Lincoln Riley makes sense, wants no part of the SEC, and can be a big dog in a conference.
And then I had one other thought on that. USC name, image, and likeness ability,
yeah,
as compared to Oklahoma's. What you could do in that L.A. area with a kid it's and crazy. Money that you can make.
It's crazy.
For that kid, you could bring recruits in. You could say, look, you're going to be $180,000 a year here. Norman, Oklahoma, you'd be like, well, we get free corn. You're going to get free corn.
I don't know, man. There's probably some good steak places back there.
You get all you can eat, ribeye and free corn. That's what you're getting in Oklahoma.
I don't know, man. The way you pitch it, it sounds pretty good.
It would make you stop and think a minute. Like, you saying all the ribeye I could eat? Because I could probably get $180,000 worth of
ribeye. What would you rather have? An all-you-can-eat, whenever you want, pass to the best steak place in Norman, Oklahoma, or go to a party and party with Drake? Because give me the steak every day of the week and
Drake.
Twice on Sundays. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking the LA
Duke guy?
No.
Or
the rapper.
Is he, but he's a Duke fan? Is he the
He's a fan of whoever is popular.
Oh, is that okay?
Whoever's good.
I think that's a pretty easy one for me. I'm gonna take the all you can eat
steak.
Yeah,
yeah. But we're not 18-year-old athletes, and so that's probably
there's gonna be some kids that want to party with Drake.
Yeah.
problem is if USC brings me on a recruiting trip and they're like, hey, $180,000 in endorsement, this is how we're going to do it.
Then
I fly to Norman and they're like, hey, son, we're going to take you to the steak buffet. I still might take the,
is it Wagyu?
I don't know, man. I wasn't a good thinker back then. I'd have been like, so I could just walk in and eat steak anytime? Yep, and we'll clean up your plate.
And you can have as much of it as you'd like.
Oh,
and if you want to go Oscar style, we can do that too.
USC's only offering me $180,000 a year. They didn't say anything about something like this. This is a wonderland.
I think you bring up a really good point. The LSU, this is my thought. Chip Kelly. Brian Kelly has gone to the playoffs, what, two or three times at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
How has that ended for him each time? An old-fashioned ass-whooping.
Yeah.
It has not gone well for him at all.
Average spread of, what, 38 or 40 points?
Yeah, something like that. It's been bad. And so he's looking at like, hey, you know what? I've taken Notre Dame as far as I can go. I don't know if you can recruit high-level speed to Notre Dame. I don't know if you can recruit the kind of talent that you need to go and win a national title at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I know there's millions upon millions of Notre Dame fans who will disagree with you. I just don't know if it's possible or not. But he goes to LSU, and he can make it work. And plus, you're going to make another $2 or $3 million a year. If you get fired in 2 or 3 years, boom, you're guaranteed contract. You'll ride off in the sunset and be just fine.
So he's got Notre Dame to the 14 college football playoffs two times.
Okay.
He's equaled the amount of the entire Pac-12. Over the 7 years of the college football playoffs. Brian Kelly single-handedly has got as many teams to the college football playoff as all 12 head coaches and all 12 teams of the Pac-12. Equal amounts, which still it's two,
yeah.
But he's got you there. But is it the players and your ability to recruit that kept him out of the winning category, or is it his coaching system and style that kept him out of the winning column in those college football
playoffs? That's a good question.
Well, as a university that's hiring, I would look at it and be like, so do you want to tell us what happened there? How you guys got beat up so badly?
He's like, you bring my system down here into this fertile recruiting area, and I'm going to have you win in national championships.
You know what?
And they're like, well, Ed Orgeron did that 2 years ago, and you just got fired.
Yeah. What was more surprising to you, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame or Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma?
Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. Now, I was surprised USC was able to land Lincoln Riley, but it made total sense. Because once you step back and think about it, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the SEC. I'm just going to be another SEC team. I'm going to be in a division with Alabama, Texas A&M. I'm going to have to battle Georgia, Auburn, LSU. I go and look, and I don't want you fans to get all upset with me, but let's be honest, the Pac-12 is not the SEC.
Right.
You go to the Pac-12, you go to a legacy institution that can draw talent, that has won national championships, and it's just been coaching that's been holding it back. You go to that school with their resources, you can be the bully in the conference really quickly.
Can be the king dog in the West. So we'll go through a couple of these. Virginia Tech fired Justin Fuente. They've hired Brent Pry, who is the Penn State defensive coordinator. You talked about Ed Orgeron being fired out of LSU. Brian Kelly takes that job. So Notre Dame is in the market. Any thoughts?
Luke Fickle.
Luke Fickle's been a big name in the recruiting cycle, or in the coaching cycle.
Maybe an Urban Meyer. Maybe goes back and takes that job. I don't think so. But who knows with Urban.
Clay Helton out at USC. Lincoln Riley takes it from Oklahoma. Gary Patterson out at TCU. They hired Sonny Dykes.
Yeah.
Out of SMU. Jimmy Lake out at Washington. They go and hire the Fresno football coach.
Correct.
Now, you like that guy.
I like him. And I
but were you a little bit surprised?
I was surprised. I think Washington could have gone for a bigger name there. But DeBoer's done really good work there at Fresno State. And I think it was smart for him to get out while the getting's good because, especially in the Mountain West, things can change on you really quickly in that conference. So when you're hot and you can get a payday, go get it, by all means.
Dan Mullen out at Florida. They hired Billy Napier.
I talked to Blake Anderson about him last night because they were both in the Sun Belt together.
Okay.
Arkansas State, and he came from Louisiana Lafayette.
Right.
And thinks that's a home run hire.
He likes him.
Yeah.
He thinks he'd do good there, though.
Yeah, he thinks he'll. Well, I mean, nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Especially when you make a lot of coaches, you make that G5 to P5 level, sometimes have some struggles. So it'll be quite. He thinks it is, but who knows? We'll see how it plays out.
Have you heard anything with Washington State? Nick Rolovich out.
Yeah, the interim.
So they are going to hire Jake Dickert.
He's the guy now.
Wow. Temple's out there. They're looking. They fired their guy. Oklahoma's
you know what's interested about that job.
Nothing. Nobody's going to take it. Might just be vacant. They'll let the kids coach it. Oklahoma.
We're going to do something new and innovative. Well, are you going to pay the kids any more money? No.
No. Just going to let them.
We got a scholarship. And then if they want to go hawk some pancakes at some restaurant, they can go do that.
They'll do that too. So, Oklahoma. Any names coming to mind for Oklahoma?
I'd heard Twitter was buzzing about the Clemson defensive coordinator, but apparently that kind of fizzled out.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
And then there was the thought of I know Kyler Murray was just asked today at the Arizona Cardinal press conference if he believes any of the Cliff Kingsbury rumors. And I don't know why any NFL coach would take a job.
Have we ever seen that?
Stepping
out of the NFL to come back to college?
Harbaugh did.
Saban did it? But did Miami fire him?
Yeah, he got fired. Harbaugh's the only one that I can think of that left the NFL to go back to college on his own.
Okay.
Now, I do think the 49ers were happy to part ways with him, but I don't believe he was fired.
Jim Mora's back in coaching.
He is at UConn.
Yep, got the UConn job. Texas Tech hired Joey McGuire. Don't know a lot about him. He was
a high school guy.
And he was Baylor's former linebacker coach.
Yeah. But he was apparently a Texas high school legend.
Been on the Baylor staff since 2017. And he's also a Hall of Fame high school coach, like you just mentioned, out at Cedar Hills High School. Is that what you said?
I didn't say Cedar Hills, but he was a high school guy. I knew that.
Yep. So that's the bulk of the big ones.
Yeah.
You've got Louisiana Lafayette that's out there. Troy's looking. Florida International is looking. But, you know, we've also seen a lot of coaches staffed with huge extensions. Scott Frost was retained.
Yeah. Did Miami cut ties with, I forget his name, their coach? Because there was some conversation of Mario Cristobal. If that job opened up, that they would throw a ton of money at Mario.
They didn't.
Okay.
They didn't. Not that my.
I know they.
That I've got in my notes.
I know they just fired their athletic director.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. You talked about Jonathan Smith extension with Oregon State. Let me see. I haven't even checked. So Jonathan Smith got a pretty healthy extension with Oregon State. Oregon State checked in at 7-5 on the year, finished third in the Pac-12 North. Their biggest win, obviously that win against the University of Utah. They lost the next two against Cal and Colorado, but then they got good wins against Stanford and Arizona State and then pushed Oregon. And that's when they extended Jonathan Smith. So Oregon State has found their guy, an alumni. Let's see if there's any other notable extensions. Right now, that's about it. Wake Forest extended Dave Clawson. Oklahoma State extended Mike Gundy. Wasn't Mike Gundy in a bunch of heat? Wasn't he taking a bunch of heat for wearing a shirt or something?
Yeah, that was a long time, a couple of years ago, some right-wing TV channel, and it made all of his players upset.
Oh, so it wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything real big.
It fizzled out pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be sticking around there for quite a while. Scott Frost.
Well, he lost. Every game they lost this year was by one possession or less.
He's 15-27 since taking that Nebraska job.
You know what, though? I like it because
I like the fact that
they're like sticking with the guy. Like,
it is a refreshing.
Matt Wells gets fired at 5-3 at Texas Tech, and we're a little biased on this because we know Matt and we like him, but that's a look. He had one full year his first year when he's rebuilding that thing. Then he's got a COVID year, and then he starts his third year at 5-3 and he gets fired.
Yeah.
In what way, shape, or form does that make any sense?
Jacked up.
And so I love the fact that Nebraska's like, look, we saw you lose a bunch of games this year, but every game was by one, every loss was by one possession or less.
And we saw you do great things at Central Florida.
Exactly. So we're going to give you the time you need to get it right. Now, next year, I think as year four for him, like, all right, next year you got to be great next year.
So Scotty, Scott Frost is 10-23 in Big Ten play. 10 wins, 23 losses in Big Ten play. 15-27 overall. And not only did they extend him, but there was a vote of confidence that was put out by the Nebraska administration. They did rework his deal, so I don't know what exactly that structure looks like. I haven't seen any of the details yet. But I love it, too. And I do think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been roughed up. I don't know how bad the situation he was stepping into at Nebraska.
No, it was rough.
But Nebraska doesn't seem like a place that wants to sit around and get beat up much.
No, they don't. But if you get the sense, if you're watching your program and you're like, we can tell we're getting better. And I know I've used this example before, but the first era of Gary Anderson at Utah State, his first 2 years, they're well under 500.
Yeah.
And after the second year, he gets an extension. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Well, anybody was around, if you're on the outside looking in, like, wow, he got an extension. But if you covered the program and if you followed the program, you could tell there was noticeable improvement. And you knew it was going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so you locked him down. Same thing, like Kyle Whittingham making the adjustment into the Pac-12. He has the good first year, but then he goes 5-7, and then the next year he goes 5-7. But that second 5-7 season felt a whole lot different than that first 5-7 season. And you could tell they're figuring it out. This coaching staff's figuring it out, and it's about to break, and it broke in that fourth year. And it just, you knew how it was going. You knew how it was playing out. And just like, hey, you hang in there, it's going to be okay.
Crazy coaching carousel that we've been on through this college football season, this postseason. Things are continuing to shape up. But the two big jobs that are currently open, Notre Dame and Oklahoma, those are the two big names that have to be filled. And we will patiently stand by and watch. The two or three names that you've mentioned are really the only two or three names that I've heard rumored around for either one of those jobs. But do you think that they'll make a splash? I wonder if they're out there looking to steal somebody from another university just to try to make a buzz. And
well, you want to win your press conference. You know, Oklahoma's like, you know, we wish our guy would have given us more notice, blah, blah, blah. They're saying all this stuff. Well, Oklahoma's going to steal a coach from somebody else and then not care about how they exit or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then that university's like, well, I wish Oklahoma would have given us more notice. I mean, come on. It is what it is.
Yep.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next.
Win.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday on the Zone Sports Network.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday right here.
Win.
Listen all day for the Win Ticket Wednesday sounder for your chance to win tickets.
What? Who authorized that?
To all the biggest concerts, games, and other great events here in the state of Utah. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Right here.
Woo!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story.
Fortunately, we do.
Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone
and the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed, brought to you by good friends at Built Bar.
Ooh, I think those are good.
Hey, you know what, though? Frank Dolce, like, stole all my Built Bars yesterday.
Whoa. I never got the Built Bars that were sent to the office.
I didn't either. I had some that Scotty. I picked up while I was there. No, Lloyd took all of those Built Bars that were intended for me.
Oh, and Frank took the ones that you'd...
And I had some in my bag, and I'm like, here, try this one. He goes, oh, what's that other flavor? And I showed it to him, and he took that, as well.
Oh, Frank, he's a taker.
Frank is a taker.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, very much so.
He is a taker.
But if you want to take all the Built Bars, all you have to do is go to Built.com, use the promo code ZONE, and you will get at least 10% off.
Really quick before we jump into what you may have missed, because we were talking about the coaching carousel, I think you were out of town when I was going through the story that talked about all of the empty dollars that have been spent in a 10-year period. Did you hear that number?
It's hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah. So from January 1st, 2010 to January 31st, 2021. So it just ended January 31st of this year.
Okay.
So that doesn't include all these coaches that we just watched get fired. $533.6 million of burnt money. Paid out contracts. Paying out guys to not work. $533.6 million.
Half a billion dollars
to pay coaches to not work in college. Well, sorry, in college sports.
Yes.
This is basketball and football.
Jeez.
And I was disgusted to see some of the dollar amounts. Auburn, $31.2 million. Of burnt money over a 10-year period. Nebraska, $25.8 million. Texas, $21.5 million. This just teams paying out. The Pac-12 led the way. Sorry, SEC led the way, $151
million. Yeah.
The Pac-12 was second, $114
Jeez.
Million. Big 10, third, $106. Big 12, fourth, $58. And the ACC, fifth in the Power Fives with $40 million. And then the group of five, you had, let's see, the AAC led the way, and then Conference USA second.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we talk about these coaching carousels. It all comes with a price.
Yeah.
You want to make some changes, it's going to cost you.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if there's another small round of firings that take place, because essentially the – year is coming to an end. Like, I know that there's one school that's debating on whether to let go of their coach, and on either it's either today or tomorrow, either December 1st or December 2nd was the cutoff date where it goes from X amount of dollars to the buyout goes from one level to another. So there might be some schools out there waiting until, you know, middle of December when you get those new contracts in and stuff like that. And when it gets to another year, they're like, okay, we just saved $2 million. Let's fire him now.
Yep. Yep. That makes sense. One thing I wanted to mention to you in what you may have missed, have you been kind of following this thing with LeBron James testing positive for COVID?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little bit confused on this. It's number one, I didn't understand the testing policy because he's fully vaccinated. At least
correct.
He's got the fully vaccinated card that he's turned into the NBA offices. And
if that really is his vaccination card,
I know. Ooh. Well, that leaves us all speculative.
Now we
right?
got ourselves a scandal.
It's hard to believe any professional athlete at this point because you don't know if it's holistic or if it's an actual vaccination.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers left us all scratching our
heads. I'm vaccinated or I'm immunized.
Inoculated? Did he say immunized?
I can't remember what the word he used there.
I can't remember either. Well, LeBron James takes a lateral flow test yesterday before a game, and it came back positive. So they followed the lateral flow test up with a PCR test. It came back negative. When you get a positive and a negative, then you have to turn in a third one, and the third one is the decider, and that came back positive.
Yeah.
So he had a negative test in there. He's got a full vaccination card, and he's still now forced to either sit for 10 days or provide – is it two or is it three negative tests in a 24-hour period?
I think it's
period?
Two if you're vaccinated, but I can't remember.
It's something like that. He's got to provide a couple of negative tests, or he's got to sit out for 10 days. I could see LeBron being like, you know, I'm just going to take
a little bit of a vacation here.
Take 10 days.
Sit back. It's the holidays. Enjoy these 10 days with the family. Call it good.
just going to go ahead and take the 10 days. We'll move on from there. But I just thought it was interesting. I guess I'd kind of forgotten that these guys are still testing on a regular basis, even though they are fully vaccinated. Was it just before games that they're testing? I can't remember.
I know they revamped, and I apologize. I should know this. I know that they ramped up some testing when as the season went on, and they did some more around Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, because they knew guys would be around more family members and stuff. So I know they brought in some additional testing policies.
But were they
recently
testing like that to start the
no
season before?
No, they've okay ramped it up as the okay season's gone.
That's
on
what's caught me yeah off guard with this. I yeah couldn't figure out why they have gone so hard on testing LeBron. But he did test positive and didn't get to play in the game. They flew him back to L.A., and he's fully asymptomatic.
Yep.
So when you fly LeBron back to L.A., is that like a
– he's not flying Southwest, if that's your way you want.
So you're not putting him on a
– no.
You're not double-masking him?
No. He's going to be on a private jet and
– putting him in the exit row?
Yeah.
I need an audible response. Are you able to assist in the case of an emergency landing?
Don't nod your head, sir. I need you to say yes. Is that seatbelt really? Are you sure that? Yes, the seatbelt. Are you sure you don't look like the kind of guy that get that seat? I did. The seatbelt's clicked. Leave me alone.
I'd love to see him get harassed.
No, geez. Sir, we can't get you first class, but I can get you Comfort Plus. Well, what's the difference of that? You get an extra centimeter of leg room.
And a blanket.
No, you don't get a blanket.
Oh, I thought you got a. Oh, okay.
You don't even get a blanket and pillow in first class anymore.
Oh, they took all
since
of
COVID.
It.
Yeah, they got rid of all that fun stuff.
Oh. Have they brought back the drink service yet?
Yeah, drink service is back.
Because for a while you could buy beer, but you couldn't get a soda.
Exactly. No, you got. Well, it depends. I mean, I do the Delta thing, so Delta's got the drink service.
Are they still leaving the middle seat empty?
No. Sadly, those days are behind us.
You loved that.
Oh, that was the greatest year of my life.
I got to fly a couple of times with the middle seat empty. I leaned back and I
think we need to go back to that.
My own little party.
That was great.
Yeah, it was good.
I probably shouldn't tell that story on there. But since I'm already kind of on his bad side, I've got to, I'll tell you during the break. All right, Hans and Scotty, 1 o'clock straight up. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.